God's beloved. And I think all of us can relate to feeling unwanted or feeling like we don't belong. But I want to pray this over you because I realize it took some faith for you to say those words. And I hope you understand the meaning behind them. But you are loved. You are a beloved of God's. And that means you belong, period, but you belong to Him, the God of creation. Don't let man define that for you. Let God speak this over you in a lavish way. I love you. You are my beloved. You belong to me. Well, Lord, I want to pray this over all of us, me included, and I know some are struggling with illness tonight and can't be here, so I'm praying it over all of our congregation. But God, I pray that your lavish love will pour over us and sink into our bones. Give strength to our muscles and energy to our spirit. We are loved. We belong. And so I also want to speak to all those lies of rejection and abandonment. Say, we're not listening to you anymore. And we bind you and command you to leave. Holy Spirit of truth, we live in your truth, and it is the only truth for us. We are loved. We belong to you. God, may your love heal us, strengthen us, set us free, deliver us, save us, redeem us. God, we are yours. And it's amazing that you are mine. We belong to each other. Thank you, God, for this relationship. And that it is tangible. We can experience it. It's not just an idea. It is very real. And so, Holy Spirit, my prayer for tonight is that you would teach us, certainly lead us, yes, but that we would experience you in a very real way. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, so come and minister to your people tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen. Yay, team. Wow, yes. Way to go. Amazing Thursday night crew. Yes, hallelujah. I love you guys. Amazing team of faith here on a Thursday night in a dark December. But wow, the real light of the world is in here. The real light of salvation is here. I only have one announcement, which I think everybody is aware that a week from tonight, we are going to have our Fro Christmas party. So that just means, we're still here. I know I'm telling you guys, you're the faithful crew, you'll be here anyway, but we won't be in this room, we'll be in the fellowship hall. And we're advertising it as potluck, so if you can, and let me underscore that, if you can, bring a dish appropriate to share, but if you can't, don't worry about it. Come anyway. We always kind of load up and have extra, so I'm not worried about it. Don't you worry about it. Just be there. That's the main thing. It's a fellowship night, which, by the way, is very spiritual. We don't do it enough. We probably should do it more, but the idea is here we want the first commandment to be first, which means we also want the second commandment to be second. First is love God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, mind, and soul. So to love God, number one. Yeah, that needs to be real. But Jesus said, hey, number two is as the first, and that is love one another. And you have to kind of know each other to do that. So, you know, it's not fair to say, oh, yeah, I love them. I just don't want to spend any time with them. I don't want to know them, you know. No, that's not what the Lord was talking about. We actually need to kind of mix and allow ourselves to be known. So that's your spiritual assignment for next Thursday night. And Kalia and Dennis have been working on a rap Contest or war or battle? Battle. Okay. Where one side wraps one thing and then the other wrap, and then I don't know how it's going to work, but I think we need to, we're going to have a winner and a loser, I guess, and we'll see how that pans out. It's going to be fun. Remember, it's Ugly Sweater Contest, so that's next Thursday. Wear your ugly sweater if you want to be in the contest. If you don't, that's okay. I'm going to wear my ugly sweater, and I don't want to be in the contest. So any combination thereof is also okay. But again, the emphasis is on fellowship. And also, we're going to have pictures with St. Nicholas. And so that should be, we don't talk about that patron saint enough, do we? St. Nick, so he will actually be here. I have it on good authority. And we're going to work hard to get a really quality photo for families and whoever wants one. So that's all next Thursday. So, all right, I'm not going to take any more time. Pastor Michael, come on up.
Am I on? Okay, great. Amen. Well, God bless you for being here. Let's see. I think it's appropriate to sing a song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Can we do it one more time? I love you, Lord. Really say to the Lord, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence once again. Holy Spirit, we invite you, dear Lord, into this place, into my heart. We need your presence, we need your power, we need to be here from you, not from the human point. Lord, speak to us. This is important that we need to hear from you, your mind. We look into your mind, Lord, tonight. Transform people's mind as well as mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. And this is what Pastor John gave us, the message of Romans and overview. And we covered, and Book of Romans is an exciting book, and because, not just because, so many people preached on it and throughout the history of Christianity, and it's been one of the most preached, most studied. I remember going through Book of Romans in my seminary days, Bible school days, and I remember writing a book about it, research paper about it, and there's been one of the most studied, most researched, most preached, and really taking like 30 minutes or so on Thursday night to preach on it, chapter 11, it really is not enough. And if we have time, I wish we can do this into like, you know, like 50 weeks, you know, or something, and then to divide it up, and it would be such a wonderful study. And people like me, the Book of Romans is an exciting book because not only because it's a wonderful book, because we get to You know, no matter how many times you preached, and the message always gets you. Message always touches you. Message in the book of Romans, you know, just shall live by faith. That the thunderous voice of Apostle Paul, spoken through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, always speaks to you. Yeah, and it reminds you once again that we need to live by faith, not by sight, right? And it is one of the most important thoughts and that you can ever preach. No matter how, it will not be enough. It will not be enough. I can do that. I can probably do that all throughout the 30 minutes or so. And you need to live by faith, and you still wouldn't be enough. Because, you know, we have physical bodies, and we live in this world. We are constantly influenced by the outside forces, and we lose sight how great and magnificent and powerful God really is. And when we believe it, when you start walking in faith, walking in freedom, and that's what we throw at Fro, we do that, right? We walk in freedom. When you do that, it's amazing how life will turn out. And people, can you imagine, people of God, we all start walking in faith. And I mean, forget people of God. So how about just Fro? Here, if we just start to live in, you know, start walking in freedom, walking in faith, it'll be amazing. I mean, Tacoma will be transformed, right? I think our families, it'll start by my family. I think responsibility, how my families are not where it should be in God's eye, is not because my son is not this, my wife is this, my husband is not any of that, because I am not walking in faith. Right? All right, I don't know where it came from. All right, well, anyway, message of Romans. Let's get the message of Romans. It's really five parts: sin and salvation, spiritual growth, and sovereignty. Tonight, we are at sovereignty phase, chapter 11. And from chapter 9, 10, 11, we are seeing sovereignty of God displayed. And it's constantly talking about Israel. And this is really a culmination of entire thing from chapter 1 to all the way to chapter 11 is a theological questions and answers presented by Apostle Paul. And it is wonderful chapters. And they don't call it Power Roman for nothing. If you really understand it, and I really advise you to really go into, if you have an opportunity, go back to from the chapter 1 and really study it with the open mind. And go back to it and really and see what God does to you, for you, and through the book of Romans. Because it really literally changed my life. It changed my life. And so many people in the history of the Christianity, book of Romans changed so many people's lives. If you really get it, when you allow God speaks to you through these books, it will open your eyes. And you will realize life like that is really possible. Okay, liability turns into assets. Okay, and remember Romans Road? If you ask me, I have Romans Road. I printed it out and I brought it. And if you want to have it on your own, and look at this, take the Romans Road. It's the same thing. I just laid it out and for four verses. 3:23, 5:8, 6:23, and 10:9-10 is really heart of Romans Road. And this is really played out. Romans 3:10, and there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sins and come short of glory of God. Romans 5:8, God commands. Sorry about the King James Version. And it is the older material that I studied that based on King James Version, so excuse me about that. But if you really, God commandeth, and if you can say God commands, right? That's it, you know, just, it's not comfortable, all right? But, you know, God commands his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Imagine yourself talking to people who doesn't know the Lord. And if he tells you, or if she tells you, yes, I want to receive Jesus and receive eternal life. How do I do that? Do you know how to lead people to the Lord? When you are in that situation. Because it happened to me one time. And back in on the 90s. And someone says, you know, I preached Jesus. And this lady said, yes, I want to accept Jesus. And I said, really? I have never led anybody to the Lord. You really? Yes, I do. Okay. And I remember the Romans Road. I led her through the Romans Road. You can lead somebody to the Lord by quoting these verses. You know you are sinners, right? You all have, Bible says, all have sinned and come short of glory of God. And you're one of them, all. And for the wages of sin, but while we are yet sinners, Romans 5:8, God commends his love toward us in that while we are yet sinner, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah,
6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 10:9, this is it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How simple is that? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You cannot be more simple than that. That's it. All you got to do is just confess and believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And that's it, you're saved. And you don't have to, they don't have to believe you. This is what the Bible says. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thought we'd go over the Romans Road, since we covered the entire Romans Road already. Right, if anybody wants one, I have a printed copy, and you can have it. All right, and we're starting at chapter 11. All right, promise of God and his faithfulness. And all right, God called Abraham out of the Gentile nations, and Chaldean Ur is the actual place. He called them out and blessed him. Bible says chapter 12 of Genesis, he says, I will bless you. I will bless the people that bless you, and I will curse the people that curse you. And he believed, the only thing Abraham did was believe in God. And God says, because he believed in God, that was counted as his righteousness. And so it's always faith. It's nothing, never action, never works, you know. And like a Buddhist, and I came from Korea, so the Buddhist people, you know, what they do is they spend their time in the mountain, and they don't eat meat, they don't eat hard stuff, they don't drink wines, and they supposedly stay in the mountain and just sit and contemplate on yourself. It's very exciting, you know, just empty your mind and just, I shouldn't be make fun of other things, but, you know, a lot of things, they have to do this. They by doing good work, by doing like meditations, and a lot of people of the world believe that you can be right with the Maker. But that's not what Bible says. Bible says you believe in God, that counts it as righteousness. Right? That's what Bible says. And God has been faithful to Israel. And though Israel was not, you know, salvation always was by faith, like Abraham. And Genesis 12:3, and in you, here's the thing, all the families of the earth will be blessed, right? Through Abraham, they call it, Abraham was source of the blessing. That was his blessing. Through him, everyone of the whole world is going to be blessed. Just like that, we have the same blessing. Through you, people around you will be blessed. Why? Because you believe in God. Through you, my mother-in-law, my mother, you know, my wife's mother, when she was married, and she was marrying into the shamanistic family, right? No one believed in Jesus Christ, and she was really persecuted, and she's the only one, and her and her older sister was the only one who really was believing Christian, and they were persecuted, but through them, the entire family become Christian, entire family, and her mother-in-law, and she took out an axe and burst into the idol house. When I hear it, it's an amazing thing. Isn't that influence of one person? The family turns into Christian family. And influences some missionaries. South Korea become Christian nation. Such a blessing, right? If you see so many Koreans coming in, it's because of the result of the missionaries who went there 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and preached Jesus Christ to the people, have nothing to do with them. You're a source of the blessing, right? Through you, all the people of the world will be blessed. So that's Genesis. But we have to ask, what does God's faithfulness to Israel have to do with me? Isn't it? Apostle Paul is talking about here is that Israel, and we'll see it in a minute, Israel is not rejected, right? So what does that have to do with me? My life? Is it relevant? And because always God's plan for Israel to be a source of God's blessing to for the world. God wanted to bless the world through Israel. That's what Messiah came into the land of Israel to the people of the house of the people of God, and God wanted them to be the source of the blessing, but Israel rejected. So that came to be a different story. But throughout the history, Israel, if you remember that, Israel always rejected God, always rejected his people. Remember wilderness, 40 years? Remember what they did? When Moses was up in the mountain and receiving the Ten Commandments, what did they do? They made a golden calf, right? And through the prophet Samuel, when Samuel was speaking through, from God, right? Thus saith the Lord, right? Samuel was speaking. What did they do? We don't want you anymore. We want king to rule over us. Rejecting. And God says, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. That's what God said. And throughout the judges, they all rejected God and start worshiping this and that. So Israel rejected God's gospel, Acts 13 and Romans 10. Acts 13, we already studied this. So remember Apostle Paul was preaching in the synagogue and the Jews were rejecting them. So Apostle Paul said, he took out, shook the garment off. Your blood will be on your head. Now I'm going to go to Gentile. That's Acts 13 and Romans 10. All right, Romans 10, 1 through 4, if I just go back to one chapter a little bit. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What is he saying then? They have a zeal. Remember Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes? They have a zeal. Pharisees, the one who had word of God on their wrist, on their forehead, they shout it out, they pray in the middle of the marketplace, they give their tenth and their 30% to the Lord's sake, and they had a zeal. But Bible says, if Paul said, not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. So Pharisees and the Israelites, they thought you can do certain things. You can keep the law and became right with God. So that was not right. That's what he's saying, not according to knowledge. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's chapter 1, chapter 10. All right. So God is protecting Israel. And Israel was promised by God of protection and preservation. And if you can imagine, anyway, this is supposed to be on one at a time, but I just gave you all. And it's just amazing, because Israel, if you fly by the jet, they said it takes 3 minutes to pass from the southern border to the northern border. And I mean, it's small country, like 10 million people in populations, small. But every one of the world seems to be focused what's going on in Israel. United States certainly is, right? I mean, Israel is the center of the world, center of everybody's attention. For Arab nation wants to get rid of Israel. They tried, Nazis tried, Russians tried, and so many people wanted to get rid of, obliviate Israel out of the picture. Small place. But they are not, no one was successful doing that. Why? Because God is protecting them. And it was, can you imagine a country had no country, no land for 2,000 years after the AD 70 when Romans have destroyed Jerusalem. They were scattered all over the world. They didn't have a country for 2,000 years. In 1948, they all of a sudden gathered in Israel, in today's Israel, and declare their independence, country again. It's never heard of. Never heard of. Yom Kippur War, it's a miracle. They said it's a miracle. They said it's a miracle, but it is by the hand of God. God is protecting them. Why? Because God has a purpose for them. You know? And right now, we believe God is chastening Israel, and I believe they are set aside for a moment. Romans 11, okay, with that thought, we are going into Romans 11, and I want to hurry a little bit. Verse 1, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people from he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. All right, one more. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks. Righteousness is what you're talking about. But the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. Okay, I seem to talk a little fast because I have so much material to cover, but Jeremiah 31, it says, thus says the Lord, who gives a sun for light by day, ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves to roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and if the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. What is he saying? If you can measure the foundation, if you can disturb everything that God has created, if you can do that, then Israel can be cast away. It's like a rhetorical thing, right? So God is saying, it's not going to happen. I made my covenant with Israel. Israel's going to be my people. This is important thought for us to have, for us to really know. What is it, I said, we asked that question, what is it related to us? Is it relevant to us, what's going on with Israel? Yes, it is very relevant, because if you are promised, if God promised you something, when you heard from the Lord that He's going to bless you, He's going to be with you, He'll never leave you, never forsake you, you're going to believe that? Are you going to believe that?
Yes. Yes.
How do you know He's going to sustain it?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a good question. If that we know when God is dealing with Israel, who's not faithful, by the way, who had killed only begotten Son of God, right? Who rejected His message, still to this day. Still to this day, you know what Israel people do? The Jews do? They still gather in synagogue. They still follow after Pharisees of the back in the days. They still do what I'm told. I've never been to Israel, but I'm told that in the Wailing Wall, they gather around and they wail. Now, I'm not sure if it's real tears. I think they might be just, you know, I got to do this 5 more minutes. I think they're doing that. But it's not going to work. The works is not going to work without knowledge, remember? It is with God, faith first. God wants your faith, right? God wants your love and your heart, your devotion. That's the most important thing than anything else. What you do afterwards, I think what we do is really follow our hearts. What you do when you love someone, even if you don't do something right away, eventually you will. Your heart and your love will eventually win, right? All right, Israel is not finished. Verse 1 talks about God has not canceled out His promise. And Israel did rebel and rejected God's plan of salvation. And it's not going to cancel out the promise of God. And since Israel rejected Messiah, Gentile nation was called into be God's people. But remember this, but the day will come, and according to Revelations, that Israel, this is happening in the tribulation time, the 12,000 Jews from each tribe, every tribe, will be ministering, will become evangelists of the world. The days will come that 144,000, a lot of people think it's the Jehovah's Witness. They used to think 144,000 was talking about them, but 144,000 members were filled in, I think, 1970 or something. Anyway, so we know it's not true, but it's literal, 12,000 Jews, 144,000 Jews will come and talk about Jesus, talk about salvation in the tribulation time, and will evangelize the world. The Jews will come back. Israel will be a nation of God's people again. It will be again during it's a tribulation period. All right, and now they are set aside, which is temporal with a purpose. And that's the message of Romans. All right. How do we know Israel is not finished? Because we read in verse 1, what does it say? The Apostle Paul himself, he says, Israel is not finished. Look at me. I am a tribe of Benjamin. I am a Jew. Right? Israel is not done. I believe in Jesus Christ. I received the message. And two, it's remnant. Elijah, according to election of grace. Elijah, what happened to Elijah? He said, after, you remember the war and between prophet 600 prophet of Baal and they fought, right? Who answered God? Let's test if God answers someone. If a Baal answers, if God answers, you know. And the fire from the heaven came down, and the 600 or so Baal worshippers got slaughtered. What wonderful, right? And then next day, that King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, said, I am going to kill you. And Elijah ran. He says, and then And then under the tree, he says, there's nobody but me. I am left. And the message of God came. There are 7,000 men who did not bow to the Baal that I have left as a remnant. So this remnant is, as you need to remember, we really need to remember, remnant theology is very important throughout in the Old Testament. Remnant, there is a remnant. And according to election of grace, in other words, it is God who does election. Did you or me, including me, did any of us selected God first? Do you remember where you were before you came into the faith? Yeah, I'm sure you remember. But I was far from being like Christian. Far from it. As a matter of fact, my friends were telling me, when I see you not smoking, I think there is God. They said this. You, pastor? Oh, man. They thought it was really funniest things. Because I remember when I was in high school, I used to carry a cigarette here and here just in case, you know. Yeah, I ran out. I was like that. I used to tell people, hey, it doesn't mean that I cannot quit. I just don't want to quit, you know. I tell everybody that. But, you know, I'm a different person now, right? We are.
Amen.
It's not the same person. That person is dead and crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Right? And we are so happy about that.
Yeah.
We remember where we came from.
Yeah.
That's election. But I know I didn't choose God. God first loved me.
Amen.
He found me. Right? When I was in the miry of clay, when I was in the darkness, he found me. When I was dirty and was really hopeless and helpless, out of drug addiction, God came and found me. I still remember him talking to me when I was high. You know, can you imagine that? I need to go back. All I can think of was, I need to get back to faith. I need to go back to church. I need to worship again. That's what I was thinking. I know that wasn't me. You see, it's God, it's election. God is still choosing today. God is still electing today. That's why we need to pray, right? Elect obtain the righteousness of God. Jews who searched, Pharisees and those people didn't, right? God is the one who elects, all right? Romans, I just want to give you towards the end of Romans 11, just in case I run out of time, all right?
All right.
Here. Verse 26, this is a really key verse of the chapter 11. It says, all Israel will be saved. Right? Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, but Israel will be saved. All Israel will be saved. I don't know how many times this question came out in the Bible college and seminary. What is it? Where is it? Where did you find that God has a purpose for Israel? What verse? And then you have to write it out, Romans 11:26. You know, it's a very, very important verse. Deliverer will come out of Zion, for this is my covenant. Verse 28 says, concerning gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Let's all read this. Okay? Begin. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. One more time. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You know, do you have any idea how many times I quoted this into myself? I know God called me to the ministry, but when circumstances and situations around you doesn't look like you're called, are you sure? When the enemy lies to you, are you sure you're called? They do that, you know, they do that. When you're not sure, they will attack those weak area. And this is a verse I quoted. For the gifts and the calling of God are
irrevocable. I know I was called. So you battle the thought with the word of God, okay? All right. And God is faithful, and God can reject and fail and fulfill his promise to Israel. How do we know all of his other promises will come true? How do we know that? Because God has been faithful. Because God never leaves us or forsakes us. Even rejecting and disobedient Israel, God still keeps and protects. Israel people think they are special people. They are. They're on the promise, but they don't know they are set aside. They don't know the really abundant blessing of the that's outpouring in Gentiles. Actually meant for them first. Could you imagine? Could you imagine our receiving really gift of Holy Spirit? We are blessed by his gifts and his presence. When we worship, we experience God. And this was meant for Jews first. And because of their rejection, it came to us. We have an opportunity to become big, adopted into a child, children of God. John 1:12, right? As many as receive him, to them gave him power to become children of God, right? So it is wonderful. And, you know, verse 1, God cast away his people? Certainly not. I am an Israel. The Apostle Paul said that, right? And verse 11, it says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. Same way, right? But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentile, how much more their fullness? In other words, Israel failing and rejection of Israel, the blessing came to Gentiles, right? But if their sin has caused such a freedom and a gift and blessing to us, if they accept Jesus Christ, if they start being obedient to the Lord, how much more the blessing would be? Can you imagine? They rejected Jesus Christ. But if the nation of Israel became Christian nation, can you imagine the impact? It will be remarkable. That's what Paul is saying. All right, the same pattern. All right, Apostle Paul talked about God would never cast away Israel in verse 1. Now he's saying God will not allow them to fall totally. So here's the thing. When Apostle Paul talks about Israel, they're cast away, they're fall, but they're not rejected forever. They're stumble, but they're not really, it's not for permanent. Well, it's just a temporary thing. But when you think about that, I was thinking, oh, maybe God is doing the same thing. You know, just like, when we are in God's promise, there's a shield that covers us. You know, I went to church when I was young. I don't know. How many of you done that when you went to church? Jesus loves me. I've sang that in a kindergarten. I've done that. But I don't know when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was young. But I've done that. But when you grow up in a church, I thought I knew everything. But certainly Christian life wasn't one of them. I just lived like I wanted to live. The Christian life kind of slipped away as I grew older. But, you know, but the entire time, I never doubted I am a Christian. Right? Even I was sinning, I was doing a drug, I was in jail. I never really doubted myself that I'm not a Christian. You know, but I'm just saying, you are still in the shield of God. God protects you. God covers you. There is a limit. God will not allow you to fall. That's what Paul is saying to Israel. Israelites did not fall permanently. He's going to cover them. He's going to bring them back. In the book of Revelation, where he talks about. And I wish we have a time to really talk, get into why, because that's what the next verse is talking about, you know. And there's a, God hardens people's heart, and God is opening some hearts. You know, you've heard that expression. And when we read a book of Exodus, remember Pharaoh's heart, God hardens? Remember that? And it really, a great length of discussion we can do. What if God hardens heart? Are they responsible? If God is the one who's doing the hardening of heart, are they responsible for their action? Good question, right? But see, God is the expression of the free and also free will of men, never really, you know, never really separated. It's separate. When man rejects, when also says in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh hardened his heart. When you reject God and God hardens their heart, they always come in hand like that. So it's not really, so it's man's responsibility is never apart from God's action. That's what I'm saying. That's what Bible is teaching. So you can still, when you don't reject, when you start opening your heart, then God will open the door and help you, and Holy Spirit will come and, you know, and really help you along the process. Okay. The reason for the fall of Israel is these exciting things, right? Through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to Gentiles. Look at that. See, God did not make them reject Jesus, but they reject Jesus, right? But through their rejection, salvation has come to Gentiles. So God allowed that to happen. Through their rejections, we became children of God. We have an amazing opportunity to become the child of God, to be adopted into the faith. And we become children of Abraham by faith, right? We can receive those blessings. Those who curse us, they were cursed. Those who bless us, they blessed. So we have that amazing ability. God allowed Israel to fall in order for us Gentiles to be saved. And Matthew 21, remember after the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ, and they question, what authority are you doing this? You know, he cast away and with a whip, and he cast out all the merchants out of the field of the my house should be the praying house. Remember that one? And what authority are you doing this? They question. It says and he start talking about parables. He says, Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures and stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." So that's, Jesus is talking about Gentile. So, all right, I want to review what we talked about. Whew, I felt like I drove like 80 miles an hour, so we came to this part. Okay, sorry. A review. All right, Israel is not finished, right? It's not finished. God has purpose for Israel, and God is faithful, even though his people are not, right? So you gotta remember all the time when you have a doubt, because you will have a doubt. As a human being, things and circumstances and things happening around you, I did pray so much, and why is this happening? You will have a doubt. But don't worry, God's got you back. Always, he's always faithful. God always has his remnant. Always, who is God's remnant? Yeah, lift your hands up if you're a remnant. All right, God always has his remnants, always. Israel's fall allowed us Gentiles to come into salvation. And theme, all right, here's a theme, through overall underlying theme. God's promise will never fail regardless of sinful situation of man. All right. Now this is what chapter 11 really is talking about. And I know I know I did, I went over real fast, but I want you to get certain points really into your hearts, into your minds, and your thoughts. I want you to commit to your memory that remember the calling and the gift giving of God is irrevocable.
Amen.
Remember that?
Amen.
Remember, have that verse into your heart. Have the Romans road into your heart. Be prepared. God says, in the book of Hebrews says, always be prepared. And anyone who's asked you for the hope that is in you, be ready to give it, right? So that's where the memorization comes in. I know it's sometimes, some of us, it's really difficult to memorize things, but go ahead, do it anyway.
Yeah.
Don't worry about being difficult. You know, I know you memorize a lot of different things. Remember when we did our phone, when we didn't have the saving feature? Remember, I used to remember like 70 phone numbers. You know, and I used to dial by my home, of course. You know, I used to be able to dial all kinds of numbers, but I can't. I only remember like 5 numbers, I think. You know, and then everything else, oh, it's in my phone, right? But if you commit yourself, memorize these important verses, and Lord will speak to you when you need the most.
Amen.
He will talk to you, saying, I have never left you. You know, do you know how many times I quoted Romans 8:28? All things work together for good, those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. And all things work together for good. All things work together for good. I repeated that in tears and crying because my situation didn't look like everything's going to work together. You know, but it has. It has. If you just take your eyes off from the problem for 5 minutes and just trust in his goodness and his mercy, he's going to bless you. You will see God never left you. You're still in his shield. And you do that once, twice, and 3 times. And you do that, and you'll start walking in freedom and walking in power. And you'll understand how God starts to operate in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing. And thank you for the word of God that speaks by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for these words.
Yes.
Thank you for the promise that is in them. Lord, it is really life-giving power of these words. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that these words will live inside of our hearts. Lord, use them. Speak to our hearts. Transform lives, Lord. Thank you. And we give you all the glory and all the power, all the honor belongs to you because you are worthy, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 You.